The Wonder Box story today was a venerable tale in the Buddhist, indeed the Zen Buddhist canon. The version I told was by Zen teacher Mingyar Rinpoche, who is the master for Reverend Ashley Burzak, who was your summer intern a couple of years ago and who's a dear friend of mine. He is the master in a major Tibetan lineage, and his focus in telling that story was about karma. The idea of a person's actions in this and previous lives deciding their fate in future existence. Some of us may believe in karma, and for others, not so much. I tell this story because what it seems to be an unfortunate event, even a horrible life-altering event, perhaps even survival challenging, might instead, upon reflection, looked at in a different way, turn into a good thing. Losing a horse is a bad thing, or is it a good one? Gaining horses, developing a limp, even missing conscription into the army at that time, where it probably meant that you would never see your family again, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Or is it in our power to define it one way or another? The grand cliffs by the ocean and the smooth sand under your feet are indeed the same thing, rocks at different stages in their lives. You have the power to change the story in your life, to reinvent it, to affirm the lessons you need to know, to focus on the cliffs, perhaps, instead of the sand, if that is what you want. Imagine back to a time in about 6th or 7th grade. This story is about a girl and her friendship with her best friend. She and her best friend had tried out for the same role in a school play. The friend got the role, and that, of course, was a mixed sadness and a joy for the person whose story I'm telling. It was one of those kind of costume dramas that middle school was filled with, big hats, silver buckles on your shoes, those things were all involved. It was a middle school play set on one of those low stages, actually quite a bit like this height, in a room that otherwise served as a cafeteria. There would be only one performance of this play because it was actually a class play. It wasn't even a school play for the whole middle school. The play ended, that one performance, and the star took a grand bow. She walked to the front of the stage and she took off that fancy hat and bowed down with a big sweeping gesture of gratitude to the crowd. The crowd started to clap. And the storyteller, who by now you may have guessed is me, jumped up on that little stage and hugged her friend. Yep, I commended her so much for that incredible performance. She was the best. She was the star. She was the show. And then I looked around and I realized I had ended up on the stage, that my effusive congratulations had turned into a total middle school nightmare of being so uncool. Jumping up on the stage like an uncontrollable puppy. It was beyond belief that I found myself on the stage at that moment, along with her, hugging her and saying in front of the whole class what I should have said to her privately and with good middle school chill factor. My unhip behavior shamed me. I let my excitement and joy for her and the fact that I'd gotten over my loss of the role and was now behind her 100% turned into a demonstration of affection that was so over the top I was humiliated. That was not how I wanted to be seen in 7th grade. I tell this story not to relive those awkward moments a long time ago, though perhaps you can gather that I have indeed done so in some quiet minutes. What I want to say is that I wrapped a narrative around this experience. I developed a negative narrative negating my worthiness. I emphasized my inappropriateness, my cringeworthy gawkiness, my ineptness, yeah, yeah. But Rosalind Cartwright reminds us that memory is never a precise duplicate of the original. It is a continuing act of creation. That is what's on the cover of your order of service. Scientists have shown that even after a life-altering, life-changing injury, such as when a professional athlete becomes paralyzed, people can often reframe the story such that they come out a winner. Such a story is told in the book, The Power of Meaning, Crafting a Life That Matters. To write that book, the author read through thousands of pages of psychological research and spoke to over 100 people whose lives had gone through a major upheaval about what the meaning of their lives was. After that work, Cartwright found that one of the most important pillars of a meaningful life is storytelling. A story could change over time. That's the point. A story could change over time, even after a life-altering accident. It could change from, my life was great playing football, but now look at me, my life is basically over, I'm paralyzed, to, before the injury, I partied a lot and I didn't think about others. I was living a purposeless life, but my injury made me realize I can be a better man. Yes, that is the power of a story reclaimed, a story retold, healing memories. So for me too, I wanted to recreate the meaning I gave to that day in the middle school cafeteria. I couldn't do it at the time, I couldn't do it for years, but eventually I revised my narrative of that day of humiliation. I took another look at my appreciation for my friend and my rebounding from the sadness of not getting the role we both wanted. I stepped back from jealousy and saw her talent and just wanted to rejoice in her success. I can see through the rearview mirror that I've done several other things that are more worthy of regret than ending up on that stage at that moment. Though for years it felt that it was a horrible thing. So Brené Brown writes on worthiness a lot. Her central point is to encourage us to learn to embrace our vulnerabilities and imperfection so that we can engage in our lives from a place of authenticity and worthiness. She asks us to cultivate courage, compassion, and connection, so that we can recognize that we are enough, that we are worthy of love, belonging, and joy. She has some great quotes on situations that aren't so different from the story I tell. So here are some thoughts from Brené that I wish I had heard whispered in my ear at age 12. Get in the arena. Be brave with your life, and when you make the choice to dare greatly, you sign up to get your ass kicked. You can choose courage or you can choose discomfort, but you can't have both, not at the same time. Or, vulnerability is not knowing victory or defeat. It's understanding the necessity of both. It's engaging. It's being all in. At that moment, I was all in and was focused on my friend's victory. I was engaged, I was all in, and yes, then I felt like a fool. So here's what I'd like to ask you all to do, each of you to do. Please take a good seat. Please find a settled place in your body. Close your eyes if you wish to. And please cast your mind back. No, not to the hardest parts of your story, but maybe to a small childhood moment when you just felt foolish. Maybe when you were the butt of a joke, or when you were playing a sport and you realized you were about to score for the other team. Or maybe it has to do with a school mess up or something that happened in your family. Anyway, think on some painful little moment in your early life. Now, hold that young you in your heart and reassure them they were scrappy and resilient. They showed great heart in what they did. Find that word that helps you reframe that story. Forgive your child self for whatever error happened back then, and recast that story as about bravery or resilience or something you did out of an excess of love. Find a virtue in it. Understand that bad story about yourself that you have told yourself is just that. A story you can rewrite and live anew. As Brené is telling you, little one, either walk inside your story and own it, or you stand outside your story and hustle for your worthiness. You are worthy. You were worthy. And that thing that happened to you back then does not define you. In short, talk to yourself as you would to someone you love. Slowly come back to this room to be together. To this moment where you are an adult and can both see the unfairness of that old story about that life situation and hold the truth about your worthiness today. Developing a strong personal narrative is one of the most important things that you can each do to hold on to a positive sense of self. What stories have you told yourself or have others told you that are holding you back from full acceptance of yourself? Glorious quirks and all. I know someone who was the athletic one in his family of origin. I don't think he ever felt smart like a smart and successful person. Despite the succession of great and powerful jobs, despite the PhD and the Ivy degrees, frankly, I think he always felt less than and not enough. Could he go back and retell himself some of his life stories? Could he revise the narrative of his childhood so he was just as smart as his smart sibling? Just as cute and lovable as his little sister who always held those labels within their family labels of labels. This was a family that labeled. Could he, or you, focus on your capacity for transformation and change as shown by your survival through that painful story? Could you hold some of that painful story as a strength, not a weakness? My retelling of my story says that I got over jealousy of my friend getting the part. I soared into delight over her success. Wow, for a dorky kid ending up on the stage during the ovation, that's not bad. Getting to a place of love and acceptance about my friend's success. Not bad. Well done, young one. And well done to you for the ways that you have seen some healing in the retelling of your story to yourself. Well done. And you are that worthy, that wonderful, and that resilient. Blessed be. Ashe.